It's the Catch Up with Lisa and Pete. If you missed the show or just want to relive the best bits, we have them right here.
Online scams have overtaken phone scams for the first time. And WA's ScamNet's Felicia Mallet joins us for some tips on how you can avoid being swindled or diddled.
Justin Hamilton reviewed the Roger Corser show, Doctor Doctor.
And we threw it over to you, Perth. Should basic social skills be taught at school, or is that pretty much the responsibility of parents?
This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth. On Mix 94.5.
The internet has officially overtaken telephones as the preferred tool of scammers for the first time to rip off thousands of Australians every year. It's happening plenty here in WA. And for more on this, we're joined by Felicia Mallet from WA ScamNet. Hi, Felicia.
Hi, Lisa and Pete. How are you going?
Good, except, I mean, we've all found ourselves on the receiving end of these things. I've often had one from one that looks very much like it's from Telstra telling me that I've overpaid an account. And yep. They want to give some back. I just immediately bin them. Is that the best thing to do?
That's 100% the best thing to do. Yeah. If everyone did that, that would be great. So that's, I guess, what we call a false bill. Mm-hmm. Look, people are getting these, I'd say, daily. I know I personally spend most of my time just emptying my inbox every day. Yeah. They just come through and they look very genuine. So, I mean, just the other day we had reports of one from Telstra saying, you know, you had a payment outstanding on the face of it, had the Telstra logo, looked like it came from Telstra, but you look into it a little bit further and you look into the email address and you're like, hang on a minute, that's not coming from them at all.
Yeah, the first thing I got to admit, Felicia, I do is I check the email address because usually these email addresses are at and then some random symbols and letters.
Exactly.
And because I've been getting them from PayPal. Or what is meant to be PayPal, rather, and they're saying things like, you've just paid $116.97 to this company over in the US to buy this, and it looks exactly like a PayPal receipt like I would ordinarily get, except down the bottom it's got just click here to confirm or whatever, and that's obviously where they're going to get me. But it's the email address that I check first.
Yeah, exactly, and that's great. So a lot of the time when you see the email in your inbox and it'll look like it's come from PayPal, but what people can do is hover your mouse over it or click on it and it will actually bring up the full address. So then you can see that you're right, it will be from, PXY at somethingrandom.com.au. Have a think about it and just do a bit of research before you certainly hand over any personal information or money.
These are some of the big obvious ones. What are some of the more subtle ways they're doing it?
Buying and selling online. So, you'll be on Facebook, let's say, and an ad will come up for a new business saying that you can buy some clothing for great prices, and people are just jumping on board and buying these products and then never receiving them.
Yeah.
Go into Google, put the name in, and you'll sometimes find that, other people have put reviews up and can already say, please be aware, don't go down that route. Money is the biggest one, but also your personal information. People are very open now with sending stuff online.
Yes.
And that just opens yourself up to so many issues, like with identity theft being the biggest one.
Well, I guess with all of us using online, so much, we should all probably check out scamwatch.gov.au and just have a read through their tips and guides on, what to do, what to expect, because some of these things look so legit. You're just tricked into it so easily because you think, I have to open this. It looks so official.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing as well. A lot of the reports we get, they are quite scary.
Yes.
So people get them and think, I've got an infringement from the police. I need to pay this straight away.
That's what I got on the weekend and they were relentless. Yeah. And I got about six of them in one day. And then I started getting these ones saying, open the email. Yeah. And I'm not like, no, I didn't get an infringement notice in Dubbo, so I won't be opening your email.
I won't actually be opening that. Yeah, well, because they put you in that spot, you have to act straight away. People aren't thinking. And that's why then, they'll click on the link, then they can get the viruses put on their computer and they'll end up paying money and they'll hand over their information. And, it's awful for consumers.
Don't open them up.
Definitely not.
As we mentioned, Lee, scamwatch.gov.au is where you can go for all these hints and tips. From WA ScamNet, Felicia Mallet, a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having
Felicia.
Me. It's Lisa and Pete here. We're made in Perth. Hey, Lee, quick one for you.
Yes.
Where do most people see the emails where they could get themselves a scam?
In their email box?
On Adele.
Oh, no.
See what I did there?
I'm sorry. I'd like to apologise on behalf of the Lisa and Pete show.
Adele's make PCs. You get it?
No, I get it now.
Please be advised the following radio segment is designed for people who have televisions, people who watch television programs in their homes, on their computers, or on electric telephone devices. Lisa and Pete would like to remind you this isn't just Talk and Telly, this is Justin Hamilton. Talk and Telly.
Justin.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. We're going to be talking about one of the free-to-air successes on television last year, which was the TV series Doctor Doctor, starring Roger Corser. Are you a bit of a Corser guy?
If I had a doctor that looked like Roger Corser. Oh,
yeah.
Hello, hypochondria.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't go to the doctor much, but I would.
I just seem to be a bit kind of tight around this muscle here. Can you just see what it is?
Maybe limber it a bit. A bit more.
My lower back. Yeah. I think there's something in my eye. Can you get really close? Look into my eye. Just look into it. Look in the other one too.
I love Roger Corser.
Yeah.
Like I said, even in the car ads, I love Roger Corser.
yeah, definitely. I think he's really good in this because he gets to play the kind of guy that we love watching on TV, you know, the gifted man who appears infallible, but deep down he's a bit of a wreck of a human being, and that's great to watch. But if you know those guys in the real world, it's like, oh, God, that guy is tedious. So watching them on TV is exactly where you want them to stay. This show was renewed after two episodes last year, so that shows you how successful it was right from the word go. And Corser, like, he's a great lead. You know, he's got the perfect blend of charming and useless, and he has like a proper charisma. It's not one of those shows where, you know, sometimes you see these things and they say, check out this bad boy, don't you love him? And you sit and then you go, no, I don't. But Roger Corser, I'm in. So I feel like a lot of this centres on his main character and what he manages to bring to the screen. I'm also a big fan of Nicole De Silva, who plays Charlie in the series. I'd seen De Silva in a few shows before the series Rush. I thought she was good in Rush, but have you seen her as Frankie Doyle in Wentworth?
Yes.
Like, oh, my God, she's so good. So what I enjoy about watching her on this show is that it's such a change of pace. You know, like last week's episode, it revolved around the science fiction book that she's written and her character making a terrible mistake by reading what people have to say about it online. Isn't that a rookie mistake for people who work in the entertainment industry? You only Google your name once, don't you? And then you never do it again. But it was good to see, you know, in this kind of light. You know, here she is dealing with some bad reviews online and, you know, you see her in Wentworth and she's shivving people. So that all works out quite well. It's not only the younger crew in it. You've got Tina Bursell, who has been making quality TV and movies since the mid-70s. You've also got Steve Bisley, who I just love Steve Bisley.
Me too.
No, I think this is a really strong show. Probably about the only thing I'd complain about is sometimes the lesser stories can feel a bit slight. Like in last week's episode, one of the lesser stories was someone stealing Christmas trees before they're ready. And you sort of sit there going, is that really the most compelling thing that you could have come
necessary,
up with?
Yeah.
Yeah. Having said that, it's quite nice to watch a show where it's not end of the world stakes or, you know, someone's going to be doing something terrible that's going to change everything. I think it knows what it is. I think it caters for its audience and I think it's a pretty classy production all around. So Doctor Doctor, Channel 9, Wednesday, 8:40 p.m. Two thumbs wondering when you'll give me the news.
We want to talk. We want to throw something over to you, Perth. Okay. Parents want basic social skills to be taught in schools.
Oh, dear.
And people are 50-50 on the idea, depending on which sort of side you stand on, I guess.
Yeah.
The idea is parents want schools to start adding lessons about basic social life skills to their curriculums to ensure children receive a holistic education. A survey of more than 1,800 parents, grandparents, and guardians found more than two-thirds believe schools should do more to teach children social skills, with half saying teachers should be giving lessons on how to behave in public. Oh. Not everybody agrees.
No, well, I don't. I mean, that's for the parents to teach. And secondly, shouldn't they have some social skills before they even start school at the age of 7 or 6 or whatever? Life skills, yes, I get, because they say they'd like them to add lessons about basic social and life skills.
Mm-hmm.
Social skills, I think, probably should be taught by your parents, but life skills definitely should be taught in school. There's a lot of things we do in school that you never end up using again, but learning to cope with, you know, life and balancing checkbooks and things like that.
Oh, a little bit of accounting never went astray.
That kind of thing, yeah. You know, would help. And also cyber safety. They're talking about, you know, adding that to the school curriculum. I think that would be a brilliant idea because I mean, I don't have kids, but I feel so sorry for parents these days with all the, you know, different avenues your kids can get yourselves into trouble on the internet, and who could keep up with it?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree with cyber safety.
I think that's fantastic.
It goes on to say that a gentleman by the name of John Vellegrinis, who's the ASG chief executive, goes on to say that I think parents are now challenged with children being perhaps slightly more introspective and spending more alone time on screens, and so the poor socialisation aspect might be more prominent in their thinking. Now, this is an interesting point.
Well, surely that's for the parents to stop them spending that time then.
Granted, but
preschool age.
I know, but where does it stop? See,
where does it start?
A little while ago, Lisa, I went back to my old high school at St. Norbert's, right, just to go and catch up with a couple of the teachers, and like I dropped in on one of the classes there and it was a year 7 English class. And I kid you not, at the start of the class, the teacher went, okay, everybody get your iPads and laptops out. And every single child in that room pulled out iPads and laptops.
Like, well, that's what they do their work on now.
I know, but it's a, you know, like they're connected to the internet at the school and everything. Like the thing is, this is part of the issue, I think, that these kids are also using this technology at school as well as just at home.
Don't you think that technology thing is a separate sort of situation to, you know, the request to teach basic social skills? I mean, that's behaviour. Surely you should be learning social skills and how to behave before you even go to school.
Yeah, I know.
From your parents.
But you do, I mean, what about the parents who work like really long hours and they have to send their kids to daycare and stuff like that? Like, what about those parents who don't necessarily have the time? I mean, no, as silly as that sounds.
To teach them how to behave in public, some parents might not be good at it.
But some parents might actually not be good at it. Some parents might
not. Well, they're the ones that probably shouldn't have kids.
Oh, come on.
If you don't know how to raise them, don't have them.
No, but they might be very nice people, but they might be introspective kind of people themselves. I mean, I remember going to uni with people who were very timid when it came to presenting at the front of the class.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that sort of stuff, like speaking in front of a crowd of people or at least a group of people, I think is a social skill that everybody should have.
That's but that's. You certainly don't have a problem.
Yeah, I know. And neither do you, so shut up. Honestly, it's one of those things where I think that could be beneficial in schools to be teaching that sort of stuff.
Yes. True. But that, I mean, don't you learn that kind of thing in school anyway? I was thinking that this was referring to more just basic social how to behave in public.
Put your hand out
as a
handshake.
Be politeness and just, you know, acting like a member of society.
Well, let's get it over to you, Pat.
Let's throw it open.
1333:53. All right. Parents wanting basic social skills to be taught at school. Should it be or not? Okay. Or do schools have better things to be teaching these kids with their time? Go on.
Well, no, I was just thinking it's something that should be encouraged at school. It should be encouraged in every walk of life. But surely by the time you go to school, you've been learning at home how to behave as a human being.
Over to you, Perth. Off the back of this, parents wanting basic social skills to be taught at school. A survey of more than 1,800 parents, grandparents and guardians found more than 2/3 believe schools should do more to teach children social skills, with half saying teachers should be giving lessons on how to behave in public. Over to you, Gary and Thornley. What do you think?
I'm good, thanks, guys. Thank you. Well, I've been teaching for 10 years now in the primary school sector, and I can tell you for a fact that it's been added to the curriculum as of recent times, these social skills.
Yeah.
So in what way? Like, what would a lesson for a social skill look like, for example?
Well, it's the common courtesies, you know, the pleases, the thank yous, you know, what do you say when someone offers you something? Just the common respect things. And
are they actually getting as far as school without learning please and thank you?
Well, unfortunately, in some cases they are. I know that I don't teach the lower primary, but I know that teachers that teach pre-primary and year one, they spend nearly 6 months trying to get these things into and taught to these children before they even get into the basics of reading, writing and arithmetic in some cases.
Wow, that is amazing. I mean, like we have gone with Mila, my daughter's 15 months old, and like from the moment, you know, she starting to say things, it was ta for everything. You know, it was just hammered into her that you know, those sort of things are a common courtesy in life. But
and you're the kind of parents that we appreciate, Pete, so thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I try my hardest, Gary. You're welcome.
Good on you, Pete.
Thanks,
thank
Gary.
Thank you, Lisa.
Bye.
We got Yasmin in Auburn Grove. Over to you, Yasmin. What do you think?
Hi, guys. Look, I think one of the things you've got to realise also is that kids start school age 4 now. They've developed mentally. They're coming out just playing next to each other to learning to actually play together. And as much as you absolutely can teach them manners and all those types of things, I'm not there. My five years old, they're in school full time.
Wow.
5 days a week. So you're not there to help guide them through those friendships as much as you can. And all those common courtesies. The schools are doing a great job. I know when my eldest went through kindy, there was a play section where you had to pretend to get your hair done and how to have a conversation. So they do implement lots of this stuff. But, yeah, it has to be a team effort because kids are starting school so early and you just can only teach them so much outside that.
Yeah. Four is amazing. I love that little Steel Magnolias class.
Cute. Thanks, Yasmin.
It was gorgeous. It was a male teacher as well. It was done really well.
Thanks, Yasmin. Okay, we got one more here. Mel in Janebrook. Over to you.
Hi, I'm a teacher in a high school and I don't have time to teach social skills as well, along with trying to teach my curriculum. Mm. It's something that I'm noticing is becoming more and more prevalent, that kids that don't have social skills, but parents need to teach that. But parents don't have social skills either. So they'll come in and have, you know, your fault that that their kid's not doing such and such, and it's like, well, your kid didn't bring a pen.
Wow.
You know, but it's still your fault. You know, what are you going to do about it? It's like, well, where's the social skill of actually saying, how can we work together and sort this out?
Yeah. Social skills.
By high school. Gosh,
yeah, they get there by then. But I mean, it's quite a personal thing. We were talking during, between when we first started talking about this and getting to yourself and the other callers, Mel, we were talking about, you know, considering what teachers are up against these days, whether it's from the students in their class or from the parents and stuff like that. Would you even be able to tell a kid that, you know, straighten up and fly right, you're not doing a good enough job with your manners and all that sort of stuff?
Yes, you can, but you've got to be careful about how you do it.
Yes.
I mean, I will quite often say, like, a kid will come in and say, you got a pen, miss? And I'll say, pardon?
Mm.
Yeah.
So it's the incidental teaching of social skills, but I don't have time to spend teaching them how to interact socially with each other and with myself, because I've got big demands on making sure that everything that I have to deliver curriculum-wise is there.
As a high school teacher, you shouldn't be having to.
Yeah, that's late.
You know, teach them how to say, please.
It is.
Thanks, Mel.
Thanks, bye.
See you, Mel.
Yeah, I could not imagine, like letting Mila get to that stage and her not the basic things of, please, miss, may I have a pen?
And most don't, so, you know, that's good. But there are still a few, I guess, aren't there?
Thanks for your input, Perth. We appreciate it.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5.